นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะเมตตากรุณามุทิตาอุเบกขาติติ Good evening everyone. How are you today?Long time I have not seen you. What have you been doing? Dr. Mingde, busy with the patients? Susan, busy with the center? And Khan, waiting for someone help me to lift the timber. And Rose. And Rowena, how many countries you have been visiting? And many of us here, thank you everybody. Today, I'd like to thank Kim to bring all of us here. And for this evening, we have two new monks who just arrived. Last time you saw three monks, remember?พระจิรวัตรพระมหาวิรุธพระมหาสุธิพงศ์ they already finished the training in Bandung for 6 months plus 2 weeks in India so now they study English in Darjeeling in the north of India for 2 months after then they may go to do something else so it is our project as I mentioned to you that wegive the opportunity to the Thai monks in Thailand. Actually, not only Thai monks, any monks who would like to come to study English, Dhamma English, not supermarket English, Dhamma English, and gain some experience in sharing Buddhist teachings in Australia, plus life skill. So we have the joint project with the Monk University in Thailand.So these two monks came from the fourth year of the Buddhist University. And for the Buddhist, the monks' university said that before graduation, they have to do a kind of working experience in serving Buddhist communities in any temple for 400 hours or 500 hours. So we contact the dean of the university, they agree. And I prefer to get the monks not in the city of Bangkok,in the country area because they have less opportunity than the university in Bangkok. And we say that please, we are happy to sponsor them. But before they arrive, they have to understand what we are doing in Bandung. So we send the rules, about 30 rules for them. So many rules saying that first, not expect sightseeing. So when they arrived Sydney 11 years ago, straight from Sydney airport into the bush. So today, first day they saw Sydney. Second, hard work, labor, physical work. So since they arrived, we've gone to the big retreat. After the retreat, we fixing our leaking library for meditation, pull the old carpet, do the whole flooring.Kneeling, lifting, hammering the timber, laying, laminating floor. So for 10 days, we just finished only 1/4 of the whole floor. So we got very bad pain in the knees and the legs. That's why today say, okay, holiday. So they know that life in Bandung as a monk is not sightseeing. It's not holiday for the 3 months project here.It is purely training. So they learn how to operate first tipper truck, second forklift, and many other things we call life skill. So even though they know English very little, because in Thailand, as you are aware that Thailand, we never been colonized, so we never study English seriously. We can read and write, but we never speak English in Thailand.So this is one of the challenging experience for them to come. So we have our volunteer English teachers to the monastery. So I would like to, are they going to be here with us in Bandung for 3 months? And then after then go back to Thailand and graduation. And depends on them, we welcome them back anytime. Because we have many more timbers to cut. Many more things to do. So I'd like to invite them to introduce themselves to you all. And Kim can help to record video. We're going to send this video to their professor.
Good evening. My name is Prapawit. I come from Nakhon Sitthamarat province, Thailand. I study Mahamakut Buddhist University. Nice to meet you. Thank you. Hello. Good evening. Let me introduce myself. My name is Pra Maha Wichitsak Wichitaweti. I'm student from Mahamakut Buddhist University in Nakhon Sitthamarat province, Thailand. I am not good English very much. so speak very much. Speak little. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Nakhon Sitthamarat is one of the major provinces in the south of Thailand. 2000 years ago, when the Indian king sent the Indian missionary monks to Southeast Asia, the name appears is Nakhon Sitthamarat. And now today we could see the archaeological site, the big stupa, marking the one of the Buddhist center over 2000 years ago. And also the connection of the ancient Sri Lanka Buddhist country of 1000 years later exchanged the monks from Sri Lanka and Thailand. So later on, Sri Lanka monk came to Nakhon Sitthamarat and move up north to Sukhothai before Bangkok about 700 years ago and reordained Thai people. So Thai monk 700 years ago, we follow Sri Lanka style since then. And after then, we have a kind of development and revolution to be the Thai style Buddhist practice. As I mentioned to you that both monks came from the country area which never speak English before. So they try very hard and we love this project. Both of them very keen and very kind. They never mind to do all the labor physical work at all. We work the whole day long. So we wish that they can remain alive until we finish 3 months project. Thank you. Okay, for today, the topic is about the journey to inner peace and happiness and the practice of the four immeasurable mind. It just reminds me of this statue, that's why I bring a few statues here. Have you seen this one? What do you call this one? Four-faced Bodhisattva? Or? We can see this one really clear, yes. In Cambodia, you see huge, big temple. Correct? They call Angkor Wat. In the roof, big building with the carving on the stone and rock for fans. In Bangkok, there was one very famous hotel. And they make the create the life size of the four face statue. And people mistakenly call it four face Buddha. But actually it's not a Buddha. Angkor Wat in ancient Cambodia. Before Buddhism arrived, Southeast Asia already received the influence and the teachings of Brahmanism, which is the early form of Hinduism. why they call Brahmanism. When we trace back into the history of ancient India, Indian have a belief system, even though we have many hundreds of religions, but one of the main religions in ancient India called Hinduism. And Hinduism said that Brahma God, called Brahma, Brahma God is a creator God. Can you use this one? Brahma. Brahma, thank you so much. Is a creator God. Creator God creates the other gods and goddesses and people. So the creator God, we have the characters of forefathers like this. So since it is the creator God of Hinduism, of Brahmanism, that is what we saw in ancient Cambodia. When sometimes Hinduism very strong, so the temple will have the statues of these forefathers. And it came to Thailand. In one of the hotel called Erawan, Phapom Sina, very famous hotel in Bangkok, life-size statue of this forefathers. And Chinese, many Chinese, Malaysian, Singaporean people will go there and call it as a forefathers Buddha, and always pray because they believe that it's really good and give them a really successful business. Yes. However, we know that this is not the Buddha statue. And because Buddhism has no God and goddesses. However, the Buddha translates the word Brahma into another form, instead of Brahma as a creator God. So he translates to be the qualities of the mind. So that is why it becomes the English translation of immeasurable mind. And the Buddha called it as Brahma Vihara. Vihara means shelters. Brahma Vihara, immeasurable, means that boundlessness, unlimited, all the way in all directions. So, because it's the Supreme Beings, Buddhist teachings translate into more spiritual meanings than a deities, than supernatural power, by saying that the first quality, the first thing called metta, loving kindness. Loving kindness, second called Karuna, compassion, third called Mudita, sympathetic joy, fourth called Ubekha, equanimity. So I wrote the Pali language for you. Then you get familiar with this language. First called metta means loving kindness. So in Buddhist teaching, whoever practice loving kindness, the person will be like Brahma God in Hinduism. So loving kindness is about positive thought. We wish others to be happy. The second, Karuna, compassion. We wish others to be free from trouble. Third, Mudita, sympathetic joy, means rejoice when someone succeeds in doing something. Fourth, Ubekha, means equanimity of the mind. If you like to help somebody and they're not ready yet, so you don't want to talk too much, you don't want to push too much. You may have to wait, or sometimes you have to let go. So these four qualities, for Buddhist teachings, it make a person mature, spiritual mature. Or let's say that maturity in Buddhist teachings means a very stable mind. So whoever have these four qualities have very stable mind. Even though you are young, but you act like a very mature person, very stable person. That's how in Hinduism we praise this person in the highest being as a supreme creator God. And because of this very stable mind and very mature, that is how the person can be refuge for the others. That means that when we are in trouble, we are always looking for someone who have loving kindness, compassion, sympathy, joy, and equanimity of the mind. So in Buddhist teachings, we say that in general, we say in general, parents are like the Brahma, God and goddesses, because our mom and dad practice more or less of these four qualities. Teachers are like Brahma, God and goddesses, because they practice these four qualities. And because they practice these four qualities, that's why we always go to them. That's why we take them as a refuge. Because of these four qualities, we help us to progress. So the first one, metta, loving kindness, as we are, I think we are quite aware of the word love and kindness. Whenever we would like people to be happy, so we practice metta, loving kindness. For example, think positively, or speak positively, or act positively, because we would like others to be really happy. We can cook for somebody, like Kim can practice love, metta, by driving monks to give a talk to you all in advance. Sometimes we help other people. The two monks practice their metta, loving kindness. They wish people to be happy in the practice meditation in the monastery, because the meditation hall is an old building, and the floor is really uneven, really cold, freezing cold. So we recycle all the carpets to keep everyone warm. But after years, the carpets start to be rotten. So we need to change, pull all the carpet and do the new flooring. The two monks have their metta, loving kindness. They would like people to come to practice meditation successfully. They would like people to be happy, so they don't mind to spend their time and energy to help. This is for example. The second one, we call the practice of karuna or compassion. Now the practice of karuna or compassion is higher than loving kindness, than metta. When we talk about the Buddha, we say that he has compassion. That is more than loving kindness. In Thailand, we say the Buddha have three great qualities. In conclusion, first compassion, second wisdom, and third purity. We don't talk about he has great love, but we use compassion, because the compassion will involve more wisdom. Whereas loving kindness, we wish you all to be happy. But compassion, we like to help you to get out of trouble. There are two different things. Love, we would like you to be happy. You can do whatever you like to do so far that you're happy. But you're in trouble because you lack of mindfulness, because you lack of concentration of mind. You can't study that well. You study very hard, but you remember very little. So all of that compassion, Victoria organized the English Dhamma talk. A volunteer helping For the Nirvat committee, I will do this job, organize English Dhamma talk, because compassion would like all the friends to listen Dhamma talk, to practice meditation, because they can learn a good thing like mindfulness, calmness, so that all the friends can stay focused on their study, can pass the exam, and then can manage their mind. So this is compassion in action. And because of the Dhamma talk, there's no music, no karaoke, no movie. So it's less interesting, correct? And in particular, Friday night, many young people got fever. Friday night fever. Before we arrived here, we'd like to show the new monks about Sydney. So we have lunch in that Yamcha. What do you call the body restaurant, St. Mary Cathedral, nearby there. After then, we dropped the car and then we took the wrong direction, crossed to the north, Sydney. So we end up with gelato, ice cream in Kilibelli. Look at the harbour bridge and Sydney Harbour Opera House. After ice cream finished, then we went to Segura Quay. And luckily we got the last boat, very luxurious boat, and easy, so that two monks have a good time, see all the Sydney. And then we walk to Opera House in the evening, and all the restaurant, all the cafes were packed with people. So I walked past one restaurant, and the man came back with a big glass of beer. Please come, sip, one sip, one sip. Say thank you, oh, more for you. Really kind man. So we call Friday night fever. A lot of people go there, packed. But who going to spend Friday night listening to Dhamma talk and meditation? It takes longer time to be get out of trouble. It takes a very short time to be happy with beer in the pub, in the tap. So that's how compassion, it involves wisdom. Because we know that to solve problems, we need mindfulness. And how we can help our friends to be mindful without entertainment. That's a problem. If practice mindfulness is so easy, this room will never be enough for your Friday night Dhamma talk or Wednesday Chinese Dhamma talk, never be enough. But because it's lack of this entertainment. But we see the value of mindfulness, calmness, and listen to the truth, because it helps consciousness to be free from unhappiness. It must do it. So it requires only compassion. You have to do it, even though not many people cooperate. Not many people will say good. When we say to your new friends, oh, Friday night, let's go to listen Dhamma talk meditation. So how many people say, yes, good. So we can see compassion is like that, because you see the value of it. So you do it, and you talk straight, it's good. Yes, you can have beer with Pramana, but it doesn't solve problem. Okay. It doesn't solve problem, but be mindful. So that is how it becomes immeasurable mind. One quality that in Buddhist teachings say, we make such a person to be very mature, or to be a leader. Let's say to be a leader, to be the elder, to be a respectful person, is a second quality of compassion. That means that you don't talk sweet all the time. Look into the life of the Buddha. I just came back from India, I think 2 weeks ago. As I told you that Kim, me, and a few volunteers, only 7 of us traveled to India. The main purpose is to give education for that 3 monks who stay with us for 6 months in Australia. So take them to see the archaeological sites, the historical sites about the Buddha. So we have to see direct, clear, that before the Buddha image happened, India no image of the Buddha. So the earliest teachings of Buddhism is very simple, very direct to the point. Because we can see that in any historical record, 2,600 years ago, India never had problem with poverty. We don't talk about India nowadays. Any one of you have been in India recently? When, Suzanne?
2011 and 2013.
Oh, still recently. Yes? Anyone else? Yep. What year?
2017.
Yep. Still recently. India nowadays, we have to accept, even though they can send satellites, send whatever to the space and all the technology, but very poor country. Poverty is the biggest problem in India. But when you check about the historical record of one very famous Chinese monk called Xuan Zhang, have you heard about Xing Ngo Kong? Yeah, monkey magic, the monk who traveled along the Silk Road. In his historical record, and the monks earlier than him called Fa Xian, they never mention about poverty in their historical record at all. And that surprised me. They may mention that Indian people dress beautifully, beautiful manner, very kind, very generous, supporting the Buddhist temple activities. We never come across the word poverty. Nowadays, everywhere. Everywhere. So, what happened 2,600 years ago? When ancient Indian people never have that problem, we have to see that at that time, even though before the time of the Buddha, Hinduism or Brahmanism may mention about caste system, correct? If you born, in ancient India have four caste system. The highest class we call the warrior, Kshatriya. The second we call Brahmin, the priest. The lower we call merchants, Vaisya merchants, business people. And the bottom one we call Sutta, labor, four caste system. And ancient Indians said that these four group of people created by Brahma God. And that will relate to another history of the Buddha. I'll tell you later. The creator God Brahma, the Kshatriya, the warrior, born from his chest, breath, if I'm not wrong about the body part. The Brahmin, who have to recite and perform ritual ceremony, born from the mouth of the creator God. For the businessman, born from the hands. For the labor caste system, came from the legs of the Brahmin, of the Brahma. So the four caste system came from the Brahma, creator God. It fixed there. That means if you born as a royal family, you always be a royal family. But if you born as a laborer, you never upgrade yourself. You can't change your status in the society. Fixed. So the Buddha 2,600 years ago reformed it. Change. There's no fixed caste system. We all born equal. Before that, the law of karma explained before the time of the Buddha said that if you did good past life, this life you very high level. If you did a lot of generosity last life, this life you are wealthy. If you stop killing, harming other beings, this life you are healthy, beautiful. So that kind of the law of karma fixed. That means if you are clever, you never be stupid again. If you're stupid, you never be clever again. Fixed like that. So for this kind of wrong explanation, it discourages many people to change. That's why the system or the ancient Indian system fixed, and the Buddha could see is so wrong. So Buddhist teaching have no caste system. And we explain the law of karma, that whatever we did in the past, we never know But now, if we try hard, we can change. So Buddhist teaching, we never rely on the karma or the gamma, but it relies on effort, which is very different. If you rely on the karma, the fortune teller said that 2019, you are not going to have any girlfriend. If you believe in that, then you never have girlfriend. But if you decide that I will have girlfriend this year 2019, because this is the year of what? 2019. Pig. It's your pig. And your pig is a year of eating. Dinner, art, luxurious items, because pig represent because the prosperity. You have plenty of money to spend, plenty of time to enjoy art. So talk a little bit about Chinese astrology, okay? Those who born a pig, anyone born a pig, yeah. You see? They're like my dad born in a pig year too. He loved art. He loved artistic. Of course, he loved eating. So this year is good for what they call all kind of creative art, redesign the whole structure, add more something beautiful. It's about the energy about that. So, but if you decide that, okay, this year, whatever the fortune teller tell me, I will do a different effort. That is a Buddhist practice. So the Buddha emphasized on that and stop that caste system in ancient India. Say we are equal. It doesn't matter which classes you belong to. If you practice the Dhamma, we all can be free from unhappiness. And we can stop the law of karma or gamma. So he gave a new hope, and that's how ancient Indian society changed a lot. A few hundred years when the Chinese monk arrived, they could see big change because of compassion, loving kindness. So we can see that that time, when people are quite wealthy enough, let's say that I ask this question to many people who come to the temple. In Australia, in particular, in Thailand is different. In Thailand, I ask people that when you come to the temple, what do you wish? When you offer food to the monks, offer the fruit to the Buddha statue, after putting the donation, what do you wish? Some people say wish for passing exam, more money, or tour around the world, or some wishing for future life to be in the heaven, in a better place. So I ask this same question to many Aussie people. What do you wish? Maybe Kun Kim can be my case study. What do you wish when you're helping people, when you do so much good?
Nothing. Just do good.
Yeah.
No making wish.
Quite interesting. Because when you look different economy, Thailand, we still have to accept Thai country is not that rich. People still face poverty, income so little, and expense so high. Life is not that easy. So when we don't have a really happy, pleasant life, we're always looking for the brighter future. And when in particular, when the Buddhist textbook mentioned about do good past life, this life wealthy, so do good now, future life will be in heaven, wealthier. So this is a kind of psychological effect that happened in the past and misused or abused by many religious systems. I just talk about Buddhist tradition. I don't need to mention about the other religions. Okay? So far I can see, we can see that sometimes people misuse this belief system. Make more donation, next life you'll be in the heaven. You could buy the ticket to the heaven. So we can see clear those who buy tickets to the heaven because this life, they are not happy. follow me? This life, they are not happy. That's why they're looking for a brighter future life. Can I ask you one question? Have you ever watched some movie? Okay. For fun, can I ask you? Which movie that you really like it?
Crazy Rich Asian.
Crazy Rich Asian. Well, thank you. So in the middle of the movie, if someone, Daniel say, for fun, I have a next movie for you. Double Crazy Rich Asian. It's very beautiful, it's really good. Right in the middle when for fun still watching like this. So what for fun going to tell Daniel? Daniel said, next movie is much more fun.
Stay away.
Let me enjoy this movie first. So when we enjoy the present moment, we have no problem in the present life. We never worry about the future life. So this is the answer. That when people are wealthy and have good life, they have less worry about the future life. So in the time of the Buddha, backed up by this historical record of no poverty, so I can say that like Australian people like him, go to the temple, never look for the future life that I'm going to be born in heaven or be wealthier than this. If happened to me, please happen, but not to be worried about that. But why you come to the temple? Looking for the Dhamma. Because stress. Because worry, because fear, because of this unhappiness in the mind, that we would like to learn how to remove it now. Thorns is in our palm, what you call splinter, in the palm now. We're looking to how to remove it right now. So this is what, when people are ready, looking for Buddhist teachings, and we look into the Buddha's teachings 2,600 years ago. It's very simple, very direct to the point. Mindfulness, drop attachment, more and more samadhi, concentration of mind if you don't have. After they reflect on impermanence, anicjang, dukkhang, anatta. So the Buddha, we recognize him as a great compassion. Because he did not only sweet talk, but he said direct, clear, be mindful, practice mindfulness, breathing in out mindfully, keep calm, reflect anicjang dukkhang anatta, see the danger of attachment, then we can be free. So this is the act of compassion. And the people who can see practice compassion. Because you try to organize these activities. Let people listen to something good for their consciousness without bias. But sometimes we have to throw in entertainment, correct? You can see potluck, amazing events, whatsoever. So if Unibuds never have entertainment, the members will become less, I guess. We have to accept that is the truth. That's the truth. Without entertainment, how many people will join in? Only handful who know the benefit of doing so. In order to encourage the younger one or the one that who not ready yet, that's why the word loving kindness comes in. Loving kindness, compassion, loving kindness, compassion. This is loving kindness. Potluck, amazing words. Correct? That is compassion, afternoon meditation. Compassion. So we can see love, metta, karuna, draw together in order to nurture someone who too new, too young. So the next word that make us be a really respectful person, to make us to be a really mature, to make us to be a leader, is called mudita. Means sympathetic joy. Sympathetic joy means that when we see someone already progress, whatever they did and even though not successful yet, we rejoice with them. In Thailand, we use the word anumotana, anumotana. And sometimes we cut it short to be the word sathu. Have you said sometimes when people do something good, the other say sathu? Have you heard about that? Sathu means rejoice with you. Congratulations with you because you are doing good things. So when we see someone clean the toilet, say sathu. When someone washing the dishes, sathu. Keep driving the monks to this universe, sathu. So we rejoice with someone doing good. This quality makes us a mature, respectful person. Why? Because it shows that we have so much open mind. In particular, when you see someone doing good and you recognize and say that congratulations, rejoice with you. So the practice is opposite directly to the word jealousy, envy, which is very natural human reaction. When we see someone do better than us, more or less we have jealousy. You have a new handbag, look more beautiful than mine. Look at your new shoes. So, oh, 4, 5, 6 packs. We have something more or less we call judgment, judgmental and comparison. So when Daniel see 4, 5, 6 packs, congratulations, sathu, sathu, 6 packs. So what happened? It break the barrier. It shows that we can see the effort, something that another person keep on trying. So it reduce, it remove envy, jealousy, and it build a bridge over the barrier, because friendship can happen very easy. When we see someone doing good, say rejoice with you, thank you so much, happy with you. We make friends without knowing. It shows that we really open mind because we recognize someone's effort, patience and hard working. So it's really easy thing to do, but not many people are aware of this quality in a worldly way and a spiritual way. Like if we see someone try to practice mindfulness, after they finish, say sathu, rejoice with you. You see someone practice meditation, after they finish, say sathu, rejoice with you, anumodana, with your heart sincerely. So you more or less encourage, confirm and reconfirm a person that what they are doing is the right thing to do. In a worldly way, like study, some of us study really hard and stay away from all the entertainment. Then you say, oh, sathu, with you, congratulations, rejoice with you, you work really hard. You study really hard, you're helping others, whatsoever, in this way. So it's just encouraging one another. Even though it's not successful yet, okay, it's not successful yet. Like someone practice, try to practice meditation, other they finish and rejoice with you. It doesn't be enlightened yet, but we try. We keep on trying. And what happened after enlightenment? We will recognize that person, encourage me to do so, not jealousy. After you study hard, pass the exam, graduation, you know the friend who congratulates you, who rejoices with you, encourage you to study before graduation happens. So it creates true friends. In Bandung, I have been in Bandung since 1990, even though I came to Australia since 1987. So in 1990, the monastery starts, and the monastery is like roller coaster, sometimes up, sometimes down. It depends on the monks, nuns, people, many things. So when sometimes the monastery go downhill, lack of support, the monks have to work very hard. Only few, sometimes only one or two monks stay and try to maintain the monastery. And when we start to build a pagoda, I think you have seen the sandstone pagoda. We start from zero or even minus to go up the mountain. So at that time, only two monks. But lucky we have Kim, who at that time she didn't know anything about pagoda, stupa, but she's so kind. Said, okay, if you're going to do some good project, I invite her to be the president of the project. And she said, I don't know what is stupa pagoda is about. So we have to invite her and her family to visit Thailand and see the meaning of it. So from that, very few members really start from the very difficult beginning where we have no budget at all to create that monument. So we start by Kim invite me to teaching meditation at her house Wednesday evening and put the donation box there. She invite her friends come meditation and put the money in donation box. From that donation box, slowly we can pay the architect. And one of her friends who is not Buddhist, but she said her auntie is the Christian nun, correct, and passed away or whatever. She got some $3,000 or $5,000 and donate the first amount of money so we can pay the architect to design the stupa. So from the beginning, it's very difficult. Only few people, and that is what we can see. This is we call true friends. That when we are not, when we not famous, not popular, and seem to be hopeless, have this project built in the forest. But these people came with their heart to support. Until now, we still remember them as a true friend. So this is the practice of mudita, we call sympathetic joy, rejoicing, because they can see the benefit of that word, gratitude. To promote the word gratitude, the practice of gratitude, never forget, never forget love, compassion of our parents and teachers. And these qualities seem sometimes not practiced that often. And that's why the United Nations have big problem to stop war between countries and countries, because they never recognized that in the past. They seem to support one another before. The borderline, we just draw it. I think that it changed a lot, borderline, correct? In Europe, how many times they changed the borderline? Long time ago, before World War I, Austrian-Hungarian Empire so big. After World War I, World War II, Austria became very small. Correct? Poland never exists and didn't have Poland. German never exists and have Germany. Russia, Soviet Russia, really small, and they occupy Siberia, big, large one. So we never know that we draw our own borderline, but we ask people between the borderline, they are relatives and friends. So we can see that without gratitude, people think you are next new country already. This is another country. But actually, we blend in for a long time. So the word gratitude is quite important to reunite people and forget about the conflict. However, we talk about this as to see the qualities of sympathetic joy, mudita. It helps us to be a really mature person, to be a really respectful person, because people will feel that we not jealous, not envy them. We don't have that narrow mind, but we have very open, we call broad mind, and open. So the next quality we call ubekha, which is the most difficult thing to do. Equanimity of the mind is ubekha. What does it mean, equanimity of the mind? Means the mind is not up and not down. Let's say Susan used to be president of Univats recently. She tried to organize all the Dhamma activities, helping many students, many friends. say that meditation is good. Some friends say yes, it's good, but, but. So Susan Fry, metta, loving kindness, poor potluck, more potluck. Sometimes you have a spot, correct? Whatever spot to include them all, include them all. Entertainment, include them all. Have fun, so that people will feel that okay, it's not too bad, not too bad. It's not that boring. And then say someone join in, okay, practice meditation, okay, listen Dhamma talk. So Susan rejoice with you all. You rejoice with you all because you did very well, because that is going to benefit ourselves. But someone say, okay, potluck come, party come, spot come, meditation. sorry. So in that case, Susan need to practice equanimity of the mind. She not going to cry, you eat a lot of my potluck, but you never come to meditation. She have to set her mind in equanimity, means stable. Means that the person not ready yet, not pushed too much, and not ready yet understanding, and waiting, not really waiting and do nothing, but throw more potluck, and now potluck with the Dhamma words. In the monastery, we have many things there and a lot of Dhamma words. You see the garden, see the Dhamma word there. Even the firewood, you see the Dhamma word there. Even use the toilet, you see the Dhamma word there. Everywhere. Because equanimity of Dhamma, it doesn't mean remain neutral and do nothing. Remain neutral because people are not ready yet, then add more. See, add more conditions, add more factors for people to click in. So that is the work of equanimity of the mind. For example, another example, if people drive car, anyone drive manual? Yes, a few manual. If you drive along the motorway, so after you get into the motorway, everything ready, in the highest gear, the car going 110 and no traffic. So we don't need to change anything, correct? The engine runs smoothly, the car goes beautifully, so we don't need to be busy, push the clutch and the gear, everything go okay. So we just hold the power steering like this, called equanimity of the mind. Everything working all right now, don't change it. Until the traffic, the car taking over or the car in front is too slow, then we start to react. Change, push the clutch, change the gear, signal left or signal right, whatsoever. Until we get free again on the highway, everything runs smoothly, don't touch anything. Just hold it. Equanimity of the mind. So, in the same manner that if we are practicing something already good, things going smoothly, mindfulness that we're practicing, supporting calmness of mind, maintain it. Don't change the technique that often. Sometimes we confuse about the technique meditation. Change from this school of meditation, another school, another technique, and then we never go anywhere. So if we do something already good, then maintain it. But doesn't mean that we ignore it. Like driving a car on the motorway, after we put the gear into the highest gear, like some car got gear 5, and then you keep on running like this smoothly, it doesn't mean that we take a nap. But eyes still open, still awake, but don't touch, things going okay. We study, after we prepare the lesson, sleeping hours, exercise, food, everything that we do quite smooth and our study going well, then maintain it. Equanimity of the mind, no need to change, no need to touch anything, unless something need to be changed, something need to be added, something need to be reduced, then we start to react. So Ubekha, equanimity of the mind is the same thing. When people are not ready yet in relationship, we can't just be very upset or through our emotion, then why don't you do it? I told you it is good for you, because it may not work, or mostly never work when people are not ready. So it helps us to be more mature, because sometimes people don't see the benefit. Being a monk for how many years? More than 30 years. Being the abbot in the monastery, Mandalun, 29 years. Many of us here have seen many monks, correct? Dr. Ming Teo, how many monks you have seen, Mandalun? A lot. So when we were young, 30 years ago, as an abbot, tell them, please do this. No. Please don't do that. I do. So 30 years ago, when I was an abbot, and the other monks same age as me, no one listened to one another. So that's why I have a lot of gray hair. I just shaved it yesterday. So stress. You should do it. No. But I'm the abbot. Abbot is the duty. It's a duty to do. Have to open the door, close the door, make sure the toilet's clean, make sure everything runs smoothly. Sometimes ask, please, can you help to look after that session? No, yes. Because they don't have that commitment as a duty. So, and you can't tell them too much, because you tell them too much, they say, start to fight. Later on, 10 years later, when those monks go to be the abbot in USA, the abbot in Europe, the abbot in Thailand, they telephone back. Pamana, can you help me? This problem and that problem. I told them, yes. But in my mind, see, what goes around comes around. When you were young, you were so stubborn to me. Now you are an abbot, someone else is stubborn to you, the same thing. Because what we have to put the mind in equanimity of the mind. When they are not ready yet, when they don't know their purpose in life, when they don't have that commitment and responsibility yet, they didn't recognize, they don't know what they should do. And you can't push them. So you have to wait until the time comes. And they realize that, oh yes, that is why Pramana, that very bossy abbot, told me to do like that 10 years ago. Because I have to say the same thing to the new young monk to do the same thing. So it takes sometimes 10 years. For us, as sons and daughters, mom and dad keep on, in particular for my mom, keep on telling me all the time, be diligent, eat more vegetable and in the sun, all the time. You say, mom, can you leave me alone? And long time ago, there's no mobile phone, only one phone at home. And I have 8 brothers and sisters. My dad had to do business. And one girl telephoned to me and talked, oh, ooh. 2 hours, my dad can't do the business job. And dad said, you talk too long in the phone. I'm very upset. Now understand, correct? When we were young, we didn't know anything. And any of you have become father and mother yet? Not yet? Okay, no, okay. So as a mother, whatever we did to our previous, our own mother, they come back to us. They come back the same way. And that's why we start to recognize love, compassion of father and mother only when we become mother and father. Because that is what our little one did to us. And actually, the same thing that we did to our mom and dad. So that's how it takes time. It takes time for people to learn. And that's why the quality of ubeka, equanimity, is the most difficult thing to do. To set the mind in neutral, because people are not ready yet. People not recognized yet. People didn't see yet. And you can't push the person, because when you talk too much, arguing, fighting. I know many family, mom cannot talk to the daughters. Fighting all the time. Dad can't talk to the son. Fighting all the time. Because sometimes we can't see yet, but in average, mom and dad saw before. But because we're too close, until when they say, again, leave me alone, again. So this is how that equanimity of the mind support mom and dad in this way, that they did not quit, they did not give up, but they know that son and daughters are not ready yet. They still hold that three qualities of metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, sympathy, joy, but still support us with that equanimity, balance, calmness of mind, that we are not ready yet. We wait, they wait, they wait. But they wait doesn't mean they do nothing. They go around, try to produce the right conditions and right factors for us to learn to progress. So again, to practice Upekkha, sometimes you have with your good wish, with your loving kindness, support them, but they see in different direction. It happened to many of us here, correct? In particular, for all these ex-presidents of the universe, many of us who try to work so hard, good for your friends, activity so good, but sometimes your friends took it in the wrong direction and start to be against you or misunderstood us. It happened. So that is equanimity of the mind must come to help our mind that not to be that upset. Like for me, when I became an abbot, when I was very young, my teacher told me that Brahman, you have to look after the place. And all my friends are the same age. That's why we did not listen to one another. And sometimes I'm very upset, very angry, very stressful. People come to talk to me, say problem, I solve problem. After people go back home, the monk stubborn to me, I cry to the Buddha, oh, why like this? Because at that time, I didn't have that equanimity of the mind. I didn't have that qualities. I expect that they should know what they should do, but they can't. So I say, why they can't? They should try harder, but they don't need to try harder. But we expect them that you should know, you should try, you should do, but they have the right to say no. Why I have to follow your suggestion? Why I have to do whatever you're doing? They have their right. So, but I expect them, I want them, because I'm the leader, I have the commitment, so I'm the one who create my own stress. And I push them to the direction, they push back, then the friendship broke down because of lack of upekkha, equanimity of the mind. So next time, I have to let them do whatever they do. And then I feel bad again, because they went into the wrong direction. So what I should say again, they get upset and argue. I let them do, they're happy, but we know that it's so wrong. Now equanimity must come again. We have to do something. You can't do nothing and let them go down there. So you have to make clear cut. And my clear cut is option. If you're going to stay here, you have to do like this. Now that is a final, what you call referendum?
Ultimatum.
Support, lucky that support by my teacher say that if you tell them and they don't do, you give them options. But I love them all. All the monks are like my own brothers. But my teacher say you go nowhere. So I have to let them select. If you're going to be with here, you have to be in a team. You can't be like that. So you have to make your own decision. Stay here or go back to Thailand. Like that. I'm very scared. I'm really scared to give them that ultimatum. Because they are like my brothers. But for the benefit of themselves and for the benefit of the monastery here, they have to make a decision. And later on, they start to realize that they misuse the opportunity. So that is upekkha too. Sometimes you have to do things that you don't like to do it, but for the benefit of both parties, you have to do it. You have to say some word that people don't like it. for the benefit of themselves and the whole group. For example, Kim has a big duty responsibility. In the monastery, every month, we have meditation retreat. Last retreat is big, 60 people. Next weekend retreat, 70 people. Because I think before winter come. Now, when you have limited beds, you have to really ask people who are serious. If you are not serious, you better not take space of others who would like to come to study. And some people arguing that, why you say I'm not ready? You criticize me? You judgmental about me? But no, Kim did not do it with her, what you call, I like you, that's why I include you. I hate you because you wear that shoes, I don't like you. But she see how, not only her, me and the other volunteers, see how the person practice in the retreat. Someone cooperate really well, practice really well, we support them. Someone disappear, walking meditation, disappear. Sitting meditation halfway, gone. Listen to Dhamma talk, never come. So we record. Maybe you should give your space for someone else who really seriously like to learn. And sometimes people took it so personally, get really angry, really upset with her. Many, not one, two, many. It's surprising. Many. So I have to tell Kim, don't be worried, I support you. You did the right thing for the benefit of others. Because we, the monastery, never pay her to do the volunteer job. She drove the monks to all other places, Dhamma talk, never give her any money. She is the one who donated a lot, even that car. Sorry, I don't want to say. But she support a lot for the benefit of others. So we can see that's clear, sincere attention, that compassion, you have to save. Otherwise, people will never get the real benefit. And sometimes the monastery, like today, we took the monks, they never been in the church, St. Mary Cathedral. First time, 2 years ago, we didn't see that sign. Today we saw the sign. They said that during the mass or prayer, please don't take photo, don't occupy the space and be quiet. First time we saw that sign. Before that, we never seen it. Have to be straight, direct. And in Thai temple, the 2 months just came from Thailand, sometimes people dress very unpolite. Not only ladies, gentlemen, should not dress like that in the temple. For example, too short. We have to accept the modern, the fashion is like that. But sometimes too short. Sorry, some ladies wear very short skirt. And you sit cross leg in front of the monk. Don't know where to put my eyes. I don't know where to put my eyes. Really too short. In Thailand we call sai diao. What do you call? Sometimes it's almost open like this when you bow down. I don't know where to look. Or very thin, see-through, like that. So sometimes people did not realize or forgot the monastery is a place that we should respect and dress politely. So who going to say like that to that ladies? I tried once. And now since then, the husband and the wife never come back. I told the lady, Thai lady, I say, your husband come to help me to fix the hut. But maybe you should a little bit longer, much more polite. Since then, they never come back. I say, how to do it? So I ask him, please. And Kim, again, in trouble. Some people say, this is Australia, this is not Thailand. Why you criticize my dress? This is from David Jones. So many people. Some people hate her, some people admire her. So she is in a very difficult situation. Someone say, okay, if you think that I don't dress politely, I sit in the car and not come down back in the car, and not come down from the car. or someone just gone, never come back. Some go back, dress properly, come back. So Kim go Thailand, had to buy the long skirt. And this is a beautiful one. And some people really admire. Okay, thank you, look beautiful, look really polite. So this is equanimity of the mind. That sometimes for the benefit of themselves, because in their eyes, when you don't dress politely, we go into the place, people look at you in a so bad taste. No awareness what you're doing. People say like that, behind, not in front. But she has to practice compassion, talk directly for the benefit of that oneself to be awakened. We call awareness, mindfulness, what you are doing, where are you now, in order to be accepted in the society. If no one practice that compassion and equanimity, then we never get help. So she has to bear, because we never know the reaction from people. Some people would like to join a long weekend retreat. We have special long weekend retreat, 7 days, and we say only experienced people. We don't want to take beginners, because when beginners too long, and it's straight mindfulness, people sometimes can't cope with it, and then go back in the middle, which is not good for the other people who can't join in, limited number. So sometimes we have to experience people that we have to evaluate, that you can cope or not, you cooperate well or not, your energy flow with the group or not. Not because we get any benefit, but for the whole group. So some people take it so wrong. Some people take it very well. Some people say, I have done a lot of center meditation practice before and are giving. So sometimes we have to tell Kim, some email we have to stop, no response. No more arguing. Cannot explain. So this is the work of equanimity of the mind. That sometimes you have to say the truth, sometimes you have to help people and talk direct, but the reaction may not be pleasant. But you have to take it. Because you think of the big picture for the benefit of others. So it's not that easy at all, correct? So you must have, so what can help us to maintain that equanimity of the mind is only wisdom of letting go of attachment, by understanding that people are different conditions, different factors. We have to acknowledge that different qualities, mindfulness, calmness, wisdom. Once we acknowledge that it is not that person's fault, but it is the person that need to train more mindfulness, compassion, loving kindness, even reducing their ego, pay more attention to listen, be open mind, then it can flow really well. So wisdom, we maintain the last one, the most difficult one. Sometimes we call the word ubekha as the word nibbana, or nirvana, or enlightenment. Only enlightened person who can maintain that equanimity of the mind, that when people did well, we rejoice with them. When people not that well, equanimity, ready to support again with that condition and factor. So they call appamanya in Pali language means immeasurable. Appamanya means unlimited, go all in directions. So those who can practice like this, that means the person already achieved that great wisdom of letting go of attachment expectation, so the mind is calm and peaceful enough. So let's say that if we practice the Dhamma correctly, mindfulness, calmness, and wisdom, and understand this body impermanent, feelings impermanent, memory, thought, consciousness impermanent, they follow condition factors. So we don't want to hold so much attachment, expectation to this body and mind. And we know that hold so tight attachment, expectation create unhappiness, dukkha to this body and mind. So we know how to end dukkha, unhappiness, by maintaining our calmness and wisdom and not allow expectation attachment to jump in. So we experience that inner peace, inner happiness, by doing so, we have these four qualities. Now, when the mind know how, and we experience this inner peace and happiness, that's how happiness happens, transformed to be loving kindness. When we have peaceful mind, it's really easy for us to smile. Love is so easy. When we are happy, we can cook anything for anybody. We can move the chairs for our friends. We can clean. Because when we are happy here, loving kindness comes so easy. But if we are not happy, don't ask me, make me a cup of coffee. McDonald's is there. Go. So when we are happy here, we can do more. We can see really clear. And when we are happy, peaceful here, the word compassion much easier. We would like to help our friends because they don't have good concentration. They can't study well. They get distracted all the time. So how to help our friends? So we have to help them to practice more mindfulness, and more concentration, so that when they are alone, they can read, they can study, and remember much faster. With peaceful mind, we support to practice meditation, to be mindful, walk mindfully, eat mindfully. We know exactly how to solve the problem. With a peaceful mind, we can practice mudita, sympathetic joy, because we know that what our friends are doing are so correct, are so right. They're doing the good things for themselves, for the future, to be the end of unhappiness. We rejoice with them. Someone not ready yet to practice that mindfulness, kindness, wisdom, they come to potluck, rejoice with them, because that is our trap. Rejoice with you, you come into our trap. Ooh. Congratulations, you are in our trap. Yeah. But we know that we don't want to misuse or abuse, but trap to bring them all into the Dhamma. And that is what all the Buddhist temple all have artwork. Why we have to create artwork? Because that is the trap. Correct? Monks, heart should be simple. Yes, simple for us. Temple should be simple, yes. But sometimes people need to see some beauty. So there's some research talking about the beauty and the benefit. If just only benefit and no beauty, people don't take it that well. Sometimes really beautiful but no benefit, people still take it. So if we can match beauty and benefit together, it works very well. So sometimes we need to address that issue. With peaceful mind, we know how much we should spend for beauty. And what kind of beauty that not to distract people, but leading to calmness of mind. So in the monastery, we heard a lot from the time of the Buddha, history talking about forest, beautiful forest. That's why the Buddha went there under the tree and attained enlightenment under the beautiful tree in a beautiful garden. Time moment when he was born, the history said that the mother went to that garden, Lumbini garden, beautiful garden, he born under the beautiful tree. When he gave the first teaching in the deer park, select a beautiful garden, beautiful park, and deliver the first teaching. Even he passed away under the beautiful Sara tree with the flowers, beautiful garden. So we can see something really clear, beautiful garden. That is what most of the monastery try to do. Beautiful gardens. Because garden is a natural world. We can say we have some attachment, but we look there less negative effects. Garden let people reflect, be so natural in the garden, so down to earth. So most of the monastery we spend time and money or energy to do that kind of beauty in the garden. So people can sit and relax and ready to listen to the benefit. That means to practice mindfulness, calmness, and wisdom. So with peaceful mind, we are able to practice compassion much easier. with peaceful mind, our sympathetic joy, rejoicing, congratulation with other people will be very nice, because we will be really easy, because we have less ego attachment that it's only me is a hero. It's only me who saved the whole world. It's only me who saved the country. If people think like that, hero is not hero anymore. We have ego. So similarly, joy recognize other. It is a combined effort that everyone contribute together. That's why we are happy right here and now. So with peaceful mind, we can see that those who do a lot, but still very humble. So with peaceful mind, the practice of equanimity of the mind is very is same thing. Do good just for the benefit of good. Like we ask him, why you help the monks? Why you help the temple? Because it's a good thing to do. We don't think worry about future life. It's good thing to do. It's nice thing to do. Because the mind is peaceful. Because peacefulness of mind produces happiness at the same time. So in the time of the Buddha, the direct teaching is very simple and clear. How to end unhappiness here and now. People have less worry about born in the heaven or better future life. So people, that generation, always listen to the very direct message until condition change a lot. We went to Ajanta Cave in this trip. We could see the cave painting in the very early periods from 2nd century BCE until later on 9th, 8th, 9th, 10th century common era. We can see a lot of change in the cave painting. Along the Silk Road in China, we could see very clear. The roof ceiling, anyone have been in Silk Road, China? Anyone have seen the cave painting in China? Dan Huang cave painting? The ceiling paint out of lapis lazuli. Lapis lazuli is semi-precious stone, blue stone, from ancient time, export from Afghanistan to ancient Egypt. You heard about King Tutankhamun, the golden mask with the blue stone. All that blue stone called lapis, cost as gold. So in a lot of Silk Road, China, people are wealthy enough to grind this lapis paint on the ceiling. They paint gold on the ceiling, show their wealth, wealthy status. But when you look into the story, the painting, it tells us something. They are not happy about the present life. And we understand invasion from Mongol, invasion from many armies to conquer the very wealthy, prosperous business trade route. So they lost a husband, father, family. That's why they will contribute about dream of the future world. And the prominent, or the clear, outstanding figure of the painting is Messiah. You know the word Messiah? Maitreya, future Buddha. The future world of love and compassion. This world, a lot of wars. So we could see that is the inspiration of the artwork. When people are not happy in their present life, we always dream for the future life. But whenever we are happy in the present life, we never talk about the future life. So Australians today, we can say that we are really lucky. The word poverty almost no, because of the legal system is really good. If you are too rich, we can tax you a lot. Okay? So the gap is not that big. So we have no problem about eating. We have plenty too much to eat. 2 months just arrived 10 days ago, they already said, I gained more weight. Even though before they arrived, the professor who came to Bandung before told them that, I sure you survive, Bandung only vegetarian food. And they're surprised at how can I gain more weight? Eat a lot more. Australia have no problem with eating. We never starve. We have too much to eat. Second, we have no problem with accommodation. We have no problem about medication. So what is problem? Stress, anxiety, worry, fear. So that is why we're looking for the Dhamma, how to end this unhappiness in the mind. Because this life is happy enough. UNSW is happy enough to start. Until you're not happy, then you think I better move to the other university. If you're happy here, you never want to move. Same thing, if you're happy in the present life, you never think about the future life. Same time as for fun watching that crazy rich Asian part one, so you're happy, so you never dream for the part two. Happy in the present life, unhappiness because of unmanagement of this emotion, learn direct Dhamma. So the Buddhist teaching in the early period addressed directly about this emotional unhappiness. And you never miss it. But later on, when economy changed, things changed, that's how Buddhism disappeared from India. So I conclude that Australia nowadays is like India 2,600 years ago. No poverty. So Indian had that civilization much earlier. But now it's totally different. So any questions?